I'd like to invite your attention today to the Gospel according to Luke, the second chapter, page 1430 in the New Testament in the Pew Bibles. Page 1430, the New Testament, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 2. I've read in your hearing earlier, verses 6 through 14. But this morning, I want to focus our attention on two verses of Scripture in that reading. Those verses are verses 10 and 11. Verses 10 and 11. And the title that I've given my sermon this morning is An Angel of God with a Message from God. And you'll hear that in the reading of these verses. Verse 10 and 11, And the angel said unto them, Yes, the angel of God, here's the message, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. May God bless the reading of His Word. Bless our hearts as we study it together today. Let's look for the Lord again in a moment of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of coming to you in prayer. We realize, according to your Word, that we have all sinned and come short of your glory. And yet, we believe that because Jesus came into the world and died for our sins, we can come in His name and come before you in His righteousness, and you will hear our prayers. Thank you, Lord, for your love and amazing grace in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And thank you, blessed Jesus, for doing what you did, for dying a horrible crucifixion death, but because you loved us, you saved us through your grace. We have come to worship you, Lord, today, Father and Son, seated at thy right hand in heaven's glory, to give a reaccount of those wonderful events that took place about 2,000 years before our day and time. We thank you for your holy word, inspired by your Holy Spirit, that holy men of old might record it. By your power, you have preserved and kept it to this day, that we might read and remember again the events that took place so long ago, the birth of our Savior. Father, help us this morning to worship you in spirit and truth, the truth of your Word and your Holy Spirit within us, guiding and blessing us. Use us, Lord, for your glory and the glory of Jesus. And then, O Lord, as we receive your Word in the days that are ahead, as we come in the presence of others and encounter various individuals along the way, help us to say something that will remind them this is the season in which we celebrate the birth of Jesus. For us always, in His name we humbly pray, and amen. Angels are a great, interesting subject in my mind. I love to read about the angels. I love to think about the angels. Now, a lot of sermons could be preached about them. The number of them we'll never know on this earth. There are many, many of them according to the Bible. And oftentimes, as I've read the Scriptures, I've come to realize that God uses angels to come down and bring a message to people. And thus they have come to mean the messengers of God. And so it was on this occasion, so long ago, when Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem of Judea, that God sent an angel to talk to different ones who would be involved in this specific event that would take place and would touch the world for as long as time goes on here. God sent an angel to Joseph because Joseph was having difficulty with Mary being expecting a child, and he knew it wasn't his. And he didn't know what to do about it. God sent an angel to calm his fears. And the angel said, "Fear not, Jacob, to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Don't you know that was a blessing that Joseph often thanked God for? That God would send an angel out of heaven's glory to bring that message to him. But God also sent an angel to Mary. And the angel would give her a message, because when God sent the angel to tell her that she would give birth to the Son of the Highest, to the Son of God, she didn't understand it. She asked the question, "How can this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel told her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the power of the Highest shall overshadow you, and therefore also that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And that calmed her. And then these angels, first one and then many, gathered in the heavens before the shepherds who were tending their flock by night. And suddenly it tells us there was an angel, only one of them. And that angel comes to them with this message, "Fear not. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And immediately the Bible tells us in the last three verses that I read in your hearing earlier, it says that there was suddenly with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So there were many angels there in the heavens that night that brought this message to those shepherds tending their flocks by night. And of course, when you read further on, you'll find out that it stirred within them such an emotion, I think an excitement, a gladness, whatever they were feeling. They wanted to leave their flocks and go and find this one God had announced by the angels. But I want us to think this morning about what the angels told those shepherds. There are a number of things. First of all, I want you to notice what their message begins by saying, "Fear not." How would you feel on a still, quiet night? You're sitting out on your porch and looking at the stars, and suddenly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, there was an angel hovering in front of you, suspended in air. How would you feel? I tell you how I think I would feel. I haven't had the experience, but I think that I would feel afraid. I wouldn't know what was going on any more than they knew what was going on. Until the angel gave the message, they didn't know why that angel was there. And they were afraid. And the angels knew that. God always knows what's going on in us. We don't always know what's going on with God. God always knows what's going on with us. Isn't that a blessing? And so the angel's first words were, "Fear not. Don't be afraid of us, of me and then others. Fear not." That little two-word expression, "fear not," is found 62 times in my Bible. That's a lot. 62 times God said or sent someone to say, "Fear not. Don't be afraid of what's going on right now. God's in control. We don't have to be afraid." And so we trust and lean upon Him. So the angel said, "Fear not." Now, think about this with me, if you will. First time I could find it in the Bible was when God appeared to Abram in Genesis chapter 15, verse 1. God said when he came to Abram, who would become Abraham by name, God said to him, "Fear not, Abram. For I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. So when God came to Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation, the nation from which Jesus would come as our Savior, God said to Abram, fear not. The last place I found it in the Bible was in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17. John, receiving the word of God, became afraid. The message of God was, fear not. You don't have to be afraid. Fear not, for... And Jesus was talking to him. He said, I am the first and the last. So he didn't have to be afraid. So that little expression, fear not, is given here to try to just cause the fear to go away and help them to be comfortable with the situation in which they're in. So the Bible also tells us about Zechariah, if you remember him. He's the father of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner of Jesus. And he had been praying, oh, how he had been praying that he could have a son. He and his wife were getting old, and he wanted a son so very badly. And God told him, fear not, I've heard thy prayers. Thy wife Elizabeth shall conceive and bear a son. But you know his heart was glad, filled with joy. The message that God sent to him, fear not, don't be afraid, Zacharias, I've heard your prayers. And of course, when, you know, Mary encountered the angel, she was afraid, I'm sure. But then the angel said, fear not, to her. He said that, you know, you are one that the Lord has found favor with. And you're going to be the one God is going to send his son into the world by. And that's when she didn't understand how it would happen. So there was another fear not. And then, of course, when the angel came to the shepherds, as I've said, first thing was fear not. Brothers and sisters, we don't really have to fear things when we are trusting in God. Now, I know our humanity, that's a part of our fallen nature. Sometimes our faith grows weak when it ought to be strong. Sometimes fears rise when faith ought to strengthen. We're human. So time and time again through the Bible, God has sent the message, fear not. And we need to hold on to that in our hearts as well. You know, fear is a normal part of human life, isn't it? One of the verses in Psalms that I've remembered for a long, long time, it often blesses my heart. Psalm 56, verse 3. The psalmist said, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. That's great guidance for all our hearts, brothers and sisters. If whenever we become fearful, we become afraid and anxious, just put our trust in God. Just try to strengthen our faith and turn loose our fear and just lean upon his everlasting arms, because there's good tidings. That's the second thing I want you to get out of this. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Good tidings simply means good news. I'm sorry to have to say what I'm about to say, but in all honesty, I believe it is true. You don't hear much good news anymore, do you? I tell you, I've gotten to where I'll be honest. Maybe it's not wise, but I hardly ever listen to the news anymore. It's just all bad news. And you just don't hear much good news anymore. I may have told you this before, but one of my early pastors, there was an elderly, saintly woman, widow woman, couldn't even get to church without the kindness of others. Someone talking to her on the phone one day said to her, said, well, you don't ever hear anything but bad news anymore, do you? And, you know, bless her heart, she responded by saying, oh, yes, I do. Every time I go to church, I hear some good news. That ought to be the way we feel about it. We come to the house of God, our fears are abated, and we receive the good news. One time in the Old Testament, I thought a lot about this, about good news. We ought to share the good news. A lot of times we don't know how many people it might bless. Sometimes when we get together, we talk about all the bad news, you know. This is wrong and that's wrong and this one did wrong and that one did wrong, or we did wrong and wish we hadn't, you know, and we just talk about all the bad news, you know. And I think when we do it, we just pull ourselves down in our spirits and hearts a little lower and a little lower. When if we start thinking about and talking about the good news, if we know of some good news, we know of someone who's done something that was good, and we could mention that, well, I know somebody that did this or that for someone, and you talk about the good news, or you know, if you don't hear about anything in your community, you can say, but you know, the Lord sure good to us. He sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. We all have some good news. The people we love the dearest are alive, most of the time in health, at least some health, reasonable health. And we just got a lot of blessings. And if we'd focus more on all of that, we'd be happier people. I'm convinced of that. Good news is important. Let me tell you a story. I won't read the scriptures, but I'll tell you. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 7. Samaria was besieged by foreign power. They were closed into their city. And all food couldn't get in anymore. They ate all the food they had inside the city. And they were literally starving to death. Some even turned to cannibalism. But the city was filled with starvation and hunger. And the great army of the foreign powers wrapped around the city and held them like someone strangling a person. Outside that city, because they had a contagious disease known as leprosy, they couldn't enter the city and live there. They lived just outside the walls. And the lepers were starving too. Nobody had any food to throw down to them. They were trying to survive in the city. And they began to talk about it and think about it one day, and they decided, and said, you know what? We'll just go down to that army, throw ourselves on their mercy. We got nothing to lose. We stay up here, we're going to starve to death, we're going to die. If we go down there, they may kill us, but we're going to die anyway, so what we got to lose? So they went to the army's camp. And guess what they found? An empty camp, not a soul there. Tents set up everywhere where they had been sleeping. Clothes, food piled, which would sustain them through the warfare, and not a soul in sight. And they said to one another, this is a day of good tidings, and we need to go let them in the city know what's out here. See what happened? God was in control. God sent a noise in the night. You ever been woke up in the night, and it's hard to get oriented. And you just don't know for a moment what's going on. They heard this loud noise in the night, and when they woke up and they listened, it sounded like horses and chariots. It sounded like armies coming against them in the thunder of all the roar of horses and chariots and soldiers. And they thought, why, these people have somehow hired others outside the city to come and to catch us at a bad time and kill us. And they just jumped up without getting anything but maybe their clothes, and away they ran into the dark of the night and left all their food behind. Isn't our God a marvelous God? They just ran away and left the food. They could find it out there somewhere on the land, but the people in the city couldn't. And those lepers went back and told them all of the food. That was a time of good tidings, wasn't it? Don't you know those people were so glad to hear it? The city doors were thrown open. The people rushed out, headed to the camp of the enemy to feast on all the food that were there. They were starving. It was a day of good news. When the angels came to those shepherds It was a day of good news. It wasn't just a day of good news to them. It was a day of good news to us, to all of us, that we could understand. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. You know why it's so good news, such good news? It's good news because of what it brings us to understand. A Savior was born, a Savior to save us from our sins. And that's why Paul would say when he preached, he said, I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. How that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and He rose again the third day. According to the Scriptures, that's true. That's 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Paul said, I want to tell you the first thing that I tell you is good news. We have a Savior. He died for our sins. He was buried, but He rose again for our justification. Brothers and sisters, that's good news. That's as good as it gets. All the other good news I could tell you is all just in time. It's all temporary. It can change in a moment. It can change in an hour. It can change overnight. But what this message brings is good news is eternally good because it's the difference between heaven and hell for all of us. If He had not come to take our place on the cross and die, we would forever been separated from God. That's the good news, that a Savior is born, that He came to this world to die for us. Paul put it in the second letter to the church at Corinth a little differently. Delivered for our offenses. He was delivered. We are delivered through Him. And we shall be delivered. In 2 Corinthians 1:10. That's a great comfort in my heart. I hope it is to yours. And so, it's a great comforting message to know that Christ took our death. He bore it in His body. His body died because the wages of sin is death. And He took our sins in His own self. He went to the cross. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And I believe that's Romans 5:8. We're to grow in grace and knowledge of the Son of God. And we do that as we study His Word, that the Lord is our Savior. 1 Peter 3:18. There's so much in this book that reminds us again and again and again the good message, the good news. We have a Savior. I don't know how much thought those shepherds had about sin and its consequences. I don't know how well they knew the law of God in the Old Testament. But if they knew anything much at all, they had to know that there would be a judgment and they would be separated from God because of sin. It's that simple. But we have a Savior. That's the good news. That's the message God sent by the angel. Good news. Unto you is born this day. To those shepherds, to you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And when that angel made that great declaration, joyful declaration, suddenly there was with that angel a multitude. There's not a certain number to multitudes as far as I can tell. It depends on where you are and how many people are there, how big a group gathering might be, that they would say, well, there was a multitude. In other words, if it's too many to count, very often is described as a multitude. So there was a lot of angels who said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angel of God brought a message from God that night that has echoed all through the ages. And we are still rejoicing in it today. Unto you, every one of you, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What do we mean by Savior? Christ died to save us. That's what it means for Him to be our Savior. Do you remember what the message came? She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not if, not maybe, not possibly, but he shall do it. And when he died on the cross, all God's elect were represented by him there on the cross. And he paid for all of us in all nations of the world, in all ages and time periods of history. All God's children are bound together. He died for us. He saved us. He didn't miss the mark, brothers and sisters. All God required, Jesus did. He saved us from our sins. And that's the good news of the hour and of the day and of the time. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, Savior, which is Christ the Lord. For us, 2,000 thereabout years ago, for them, that very day, laid in a manger, and then came and worshipped him. There were others who knew he was someone special. Wise men came from afar. How far, I don't know. But they traveled a great distance, I'm sure, from other countries to come and see Jesus. By the time they got there, he was a little boy. A little child, as I understand it. He was in a house with Mary and Joseph, no longer in the manger when the wise men got there. But they beheld him nonetheless. And you see, much, much longer a distance in time, we have, by faith, seen Jesus. We didn't see him lying in a manger as the shepherds did. We didn't see him as a little child in a house like the wise men did. But in our hearts and minds, we do see him. By faith, we see him in the manger. By faith, we see him as the little child that those wise men worshipped. But more importantly, we see him as the victorious Son of God. To see him there in the manger, to see him in that house where they were living, they could not see what he would ultimately do, but there's our advantage. While we did not actually see him, only by faith, but not actually see him in the manger, did not actually see him as a little child. By faith we do, but not actually with our eyes. We didn't see him down on the cross, but in our hearts and minds, and according to the Word of God, he died. He delivered us from our sins. He is our Savior, forever seated at the right hand of the Father until the time when he shall come back. I don't know when it will be, but he's coming. And when he does, what a glorious day it will be. But he'll come, the resurrection will take place. The dead in Christ will be raised. We shall be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. From mortal to immortal, from corruptible to incorruptible. We shall be caught up with him in the heavens, the clouds, to be carried to heaven's glory, to live without end with God in heaven and Christ in heaven. That's the victory. That's the salvation that He gave us. A Savior came. He died to save us. And He saved us. And we are His today. Good news. Thank God for it. God bless it to all our hearts. And let's share it with others. It might be good news to them. It's my hope and prayer, for Christ's sake.